Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, but now and ever and unto the ages of ages. Amen. When I first read the Gospel from today, the reading is from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. At that time, a certain ruler came to Jesus and questioned him, saying, "Good teacher, by doing what shall I inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why callest thou me good? No one is good except one God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, be honoring thy father and thy mother." And he said, "All these I kept for myself from my youth." And after Jesus heard these things, he said to him, "Yet one thing is wanting in thee. Sell all as much as thou hast, and distribute to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and keep on following me." And after he heard these things, he became deeply grieved, for he was exceedingly rich. And after Jesus saw him becoming deeply grieved, he said, "How with difficulty shall they who have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to enter through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And they who heard it said, "And who is able to be saved?" And he said, "The things impossible with men are possible with God." Brothers and sisters, this young man asked a question that most of us and most of those in the world have stopped asking. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? It's a question that should be on our lips from the moment we wake up in the morning to the moment we close our eyes and go to sleep at night. It is a central question of our lives. What shall we do to inherit eternal life? Most of the world lives, as the book of Ecclesiastes has eloquently said, they live by the motto, "Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, and dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return." They live with the motto that there is nothing after this life. And they spend their lives trying to satiate their senses, to satisfy their bellies, to satisfy their passions. What God, through Christ, is telling us is that as long as we ask the right question, but seek for the minimum answer, even though this ruler was asking the right question, the answer he wanted was, what is the minimum that I have to do in order to inherit eternal life? Give me a list of commandments to fulfill. Give me a set of rules to follow so that I know what I have to do in order to be saved. And as long as you and I, brothers and sisters, live our lives looking for the minimum, looking for a series of rules to follow, looking only for what is the least requirement to enter heaven, then like this man, when Christ tells us what is really expected of us, that we give up everything, all attachment to this world, all attachment to the things in this life, to serve Christ and to serve God, and as he says, to keep on following him. And where did Christ go? He went to the cross. Where did Christ's life end up? It ended up at Golgotha, at the place of the skull. It ended up in humiliation and degradation. It ended up in the place of torment and in the place of humiliation. This rich ruler was unwilling to do what was required, to give up the life of luxury, of comfort, and of attachment to this world. We in this country live such a life of comfort compared to many in the world who have not sufficient food to eat, not sufficient water to drink, have famine and disease, who live close to the elements, who freeze in the winter, who live in the desert, in the heat during the summer. Most of us live our lives in comfort. We live our lives with warmth in the winter and air conditioning in the summer. We don't know a life of need. We don't know a life of suffering. We don't know a life of disease. But even those of us who live in comfort know in our heart of hearts how fragile human life is, how easy it is for us to become sick, how easy it is for us to lose everything we have, how easy it is for us to die. And what Christ is telling us, that as long as we have attachment to things in this world, as long as our hearts and minds are focused on acquisition of the pleasures of this life, as long as we spend our days asking the other question we all seem to ask, how can I be happy? How can I satisfy myself? How can I be comfortable? Rather than the one question this rich ruler was willing to ask, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? We too, when we hear the answer which God gives us through the gospel, that He requires each of us to give up everything, all attachment to this life, to either in a literal or spiritual way, give away all that we have to the poor. Christ, who was rich in the Godhead, deigned to empty Himself to become a servant, deigned to submit Himself to the Pharisees to be beaten and tortured by the Roman soldiers and ultimately crucified naked, hanging on a cross. The God of the universe who created the world ultimately deigned to hang naked upon a cross, beaten and bloodied for our sins, for our unwillingness to give up the things of this life, to focus our attention, our soul attention, on things heavenly, on things divine, on the things, the treasure which Christ promised the rich young ruler, the treasure which is in heaven. I have said many times before that I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor human mind can comprehend what God has prepared for those who love Him. And all He asks each of us in return to be worthy of that inheritance is to learn to love. Those of the occult world, those who serve the darker powers, believe in this theory of balance, that as long as your good deeds are balanced by your bad deeds, everything is okay and you are right with the universe. You are right with the heavens. And too many of us live our lives as though we are servants of the dark powers. We too think that as long as we do certain amount of good that will balance the evil, the unethical that we do in our lives. St. Paul has said in his epistle to the Corinthians, even if you do the good things, even if you sell all your possessions and give them to the poor, and you give up your own body to be burned, if you have not love, it doesn't profit you. Even if we do good things, if we love the poor, if we take care of those who are in need, if we do it thinking that somehow this balances our life out, that makes up for how we attained the wealth, that's why it is difficult for us who are rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Because it's difficult for us to give up the desires of our hearts and our bodies. And as I said, to keep on following Christ, to follow Him to the cross. The hardest things, brothers and sisters, for each of us to do is to learn to love with the same kind of selfless love, the same kind of selfless love which God has shown to each of us through giving up His own life, to emptying Himself out, as it says, kenosis in Greek. Though being in the form of God, becoming a servant, washing the feet of His apostles, washing the feet of his apostles, and in figuratively showing the kind of life of service that we should have for other people, the kind of love that we should have for other people, the kind of love that we should have for the poor. We who think that we are rich because we have comfort, because we live a life outside of the elements, because we have enough to eat, we are warm in the winter. Those of us who think that we are rich because our bellies are full, our passions are satiated, and we are satisfied and comfortable and happy in this life, Christ has said, woe to you who are rich, because this wealth that we have is fleeting. This treasure that we treasure up in this life is so easily taken away. And the treasure which is in heaven, which God has prepared for all of us, is far greater than anything that we can have in this life. I know it's the hardest thing in the world when, from the time we're small children, we spend our days trying to satisfy the bodies which God has given us. When that small child cries out for food and is fed, we are reinforced in these passions every single day of our lives. Every time we're hungry and we eat and we feel full and we're satisfied, the passions are reinforced. That's why the church has set the discipline of fasting. We fast so we know what it's like to be hungry. We deprive ourselves of the passions so we know what it's like to be in need, so that the poverty which we should embrace willingly, at least through the discipline of the church, we embrace. Those of us who live a life of true poverty, a life of self-service and sacrifice and love for other people, those of us would become comfortable with hunger, comfortable with the cold, comfortable with the suffering, comfortable with the exhaustion that comes from doing good, comfortable with the pain and agony of the cross. This is what God calls each of us to do. When we ask the question, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Let us be willing to do what Christ asks of us. Let us not be grieved and sad when He says, give up everything for my sake. Keep on following me. For in following Christ, we will attain to the treasure, as I said, that great treasure which He has promised to each of us in heaven. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, both now and ever, and unto the ages of ages. Amen.